A reading from the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Well, I guess Christmas is almost officially here, isn't it? We kick off the season, we lit the Christ candle. We're anticipating that sometime in the nighttime hours between this day and tomorrow, give or take 6 months, Jesus was born. But it means something to a lot of different people. To economists, this is an important time of the year for you to spend yourself into debt so the economy looks good. I'm sure you've noticed that. Christmas spending leads the news stories. What's retail spending like? What's online spending like? And sooner or later, you start thinking about the gifts you've given, maybe the gifts that you've received from people in the past. Maybe you think about the ones that you opened the box and you looked at it, and then you check the card for a gift receipt. Y'all all gotten one of those? Let's see if we can take this sweater back. My mom, when she would open something that she didn't really like, she would look at it and she'd say, "That's different, isn't it?" That was code word for, "Why did you buy me this?" I remember those things with great fondness, you know. I remember the gifts that I've given that made people tear up. I remember the gifts that I've given to people that made them feel loved. And I remember the things that I've given them where you could tell right away that they didn't understand why you had given them that. And that gift giving is an important part of Christmas. It's part of the story that we hear from Luke and from the other gospel writers. It's a part of the whole nuance of what God is doing, that God is giving God's self to us in the person of Jesus. The greatest gift ever given. Attached to that person is the promise of eternal life, and that may be the second greatest gift ever given. And attached to the promise of eternal life is the promise of freedom from sin and from guilt, freedom from despair, freedom from hurt and harm, freedom from having to live in a way that uses other people instead of recognizing them as gifts. Christmas pushes back against that attitude that other people live for our purposes. Christmas pushes back against the idea that other people live somehow for us. It reminds us that the greatest gift that we can ask for is knowing God. There is no greater gift. And once we get past thinking about gifts, maybe our thoughts turn to stories. Maybe we'll tell stories of Christmases past when our father or our mother or our grandmother was still with us, when a sister was still alive, when a favorite aunt got something that made everybody laugh for Christmas. I could tell you that story from last year, but I can't tell it in church. The joy, the unbridled expectation, the sense that something good is going to happen that day, that makes that day special. And part of that will be story. We move from gifts to story, and very often it's the gifts we receive that inspire the story. And that's exactly what the angels were communicating to the shepherds that night. You have a story to tell about a gift. And they were sent to tell the mother what they had heard. I hope you noticed that. Then in their heart, they were led to go and see this thing that God had made known to them and to share with Mary and Joseph exactly what had been said about their child. So we turn to story. Do you guys like telling stories? Anybody? Like to hear a good story? You ever had somebody start telling you a story and then you get someplace where you're going, you're riding in a car and they don't get to finish it? And then they forget to finish and you wonder forever what happened. I told a story one time about a guy who was using a lid off of a mason jar to catch a bobcat. He had hung it from a tree as a curiosity, and when the cat would come along, he would put his foot in it and get caught. And I didn't tell whether or not the guy had caught the bobcat. And after worship, Scott offered, said, "Man, you can't leave me hanging like that. Did he catch the thing or not?" I'll never forget that. A story left unfinished. The stories that we tell at Christmas, particularly the story of the birth of Christ, come to be part of the true gift of Christmas. Our stories give our heart life. They give our memories life. They give the memories of our loved ones who have passed on life as we share information about grandmothers with grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-grandchildren. When we involve ourselves in the traditions of our past, we're celebrating that a story has been passed down from generation to generation, and it is the story of the greatest gift ever given, the person of Jesus of Nazareth. We tell that story expecting that it does not end, that it is a story that we are being caught up in, that our participation in Christmas and celebrating His birth and reverencing Him as Lord involves us and catches us up into that story. And I wonder, have you ever noticed that stories are told by survivors? I learned that from Pirates of the Caribbean, a highly philosophical movie. In one part of that movie, Jack Sparrow, the pirate character, he's all like this, you know. They put him in jail, stuck in the cell. And he hears some cannons firing, and he recognizes as the Black Pearl, which is his ship. And he looks out the window and says, "Oh, it's the Black Pearl," and gets all excited. And then somebody beside him says, "What?" You know, and they start talking about how they've heard stories of the Black Pearl. And Sparrow asked him, "Have you ever seen it?" He said, "No, but I've heard the stories. They say they don't leave any survivors, that when they attack a ship or a settlement, there are no survivors." And Jack Sparrow asked him, "Well, I wonder then, where do the stories come from?" Do you see that? If there were no survivors, there would be no stories. You are part of a surviving lineage of people who have told the story of the birth of the Messiah. You are part of a long line of people who began with simple shepherds on a hillside, who have told the story of a person who was born as God in the flesh, a person who came to us to reveal God to us and give us a deeper knowledge of God than we could have ever hoped for by being God with us. And I dare to tell you tonight that that is the greatest gift you have to offer anyone, is to use your voice to tell that story. It might require learning it. And if you desire to learn more of it, boy, can we hook you up. To learn that story changes you from a hearer of the story to a participant in the story, and then a teller of the story. Just like these simple shepherds. When I went to Israel, the guide made a point to tell us that they were kind of the lower class of Israel. Like the low class. They were people that nobody liked. I don't know if he was right or not, but I was shocked by that in a way. A lot of the commentaries on this text will tell you the same thing, that the fact that the angels talk to shepherds first shows us that the gospel is really meant for all of us, whether we're important or people don't even know who we are. But in your gift giving and in your storytelling and in your telling of this story to your children, to your grandchildren, and the rehearsing of this story in Christmas plays and in Christmas Eve services, and the reading of the story and the hearing of the story and the telling of the story over and over and over and over again, we become a part of that long line of survivors from death and sin who have been caught up in the story of this Messiah, a baby born in a backwater town. In first century Israel, a baby who would one day grow up to show us what it truly looks like to love. A baby who would one day grow up and tell us stories that taught us who God is and taught us of God's desire for us, of God's love for us, of God's mercy for us. Of God's desire that none of us would perish, but that all of us would have eternal life. You are caught up in a gift. You are caught up in a story that has no end. And I invite you today to respond as the shepherds did. Tell the story. Tell it. You can start tomorrow morning by opening your Bibles to Luke 2. If you don't have a printed Bible, you can get one on your iPhone or Android. And just read it before you open presents. Reset the day. Remind yourself why the joy of Christmas truly exists. You are caught up in the most wonderful story ever told. In 1961 or so, there was a Russian cosmonaut who went off into space. I wasn't born yet. I was negative eight years old. When he got up into space, he reported that he did not see God. And the critic Nikita Khrushchev made a big deal of it. Said he did not see God. There is no God. And C.S. Lewis wrote a rebuttal to that. And he talked about how Shakespeare created a world in his writing. Like the play Romeo and Juliet. That he created a world for those characters and families for those characters and life situations for those characters. But Shakespeare could never enter into the story because he was always just the author. But the story that we have to tell tonight is that the author entered into the narrative. The author entered into the world that he spoke into being to free that world from sin and death. And for that, I say praise be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.